Hello there, listeners. I'm back. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Susie New from the Australian Society of Anaesthetists. In this episode, I am chatting with Dr. Michael Lumsden-Steele, who is the chair of the Australian Society of Anaesthetists, otherwise known as the ASA's Economic Advisory Committee, or as we say, EAC. We also tend to call Dr. Lumsden-Steele Lummo. I'll say from the outset that if you are an ASA member and you want to dive straight into the nitty-gritty of the changes to the RVG section of the Medicare benefit schedule, then scroll down to the show notes and find the link that will take you to the full version of this podcast. It's on the ASA website and you'll need your membership details handy to log in. You are looking for Talking Money Episode 15. That's 15 on the 2024 Medicare Benefits Schedule, or MBS, changes. For those of you who are not familiar with this series that we have called Talking Money, it's where we do more than talk money. We discuss the professional, economic and business aspects of running an anaesthetic practice here in Australia. We understand that you went to med school to learn how to become a doctor and that learning how to run a business may have been the last thing on your mind. So we are sharing this information with you so that you can focus on the important task of caring for your patients and knowing that the business aspects are conducted in a way that is safe and lawful, and in this case, compliant with Medicare. So for this episode, for those of you who are not sure what I am talking about, there are three new items that were introduced into the MBS, the Medicare Benefit Schedule, on the 1st of March 2024. They are for use by anaesthetists and are in the RVG, or Relative Value Guides, section. They're also in the RVG that is produced by us, the Australian Society of Anaesthetists. ASA members, you would have received an email about this. It was sent out on the 19th of February at 5:17 p.m. Sydney time by the policy team. So the email address, if you happen to be searching for it in your emails, would be policy@asa.org.au. The information is in that email, and the full version of this podcast goes into much more detail about what the MBS changes are and how to use them appropriately. All right, before I get into this podcast with Lummo, I want to update you. To our faithful listeners, thank you for following the podcast. You'll know that I took a little break after the last episode. It was a huge special edition 90th episode of the Australian Anaesthesia Podcast, and it's where I celebrated the 90th birthday of the ASA. I have never received so much positive feedback, so thank you, David, James, Matt, Elaine, all the people who have sent me such lovely messages about how much you enjoyed that episode. It really was a lot of fun. It was my first time ever trying to create a narrative podcast or tell a story, and I'm hoping one day I might be able to pull off something similar. This little break has given me some time to reflect on the Australian Anaesthesia Podcast. For the past 2 years, I have committed to publishing an episode every 2 weeks, and I am incredibly chuffed that we've been able to deliver that. And I really want to thank you for listening and following along. I do want to announce, however, that I'm going to be relaxing the schedule a little bit this year as I'm off on sabbatical and doing various other projects. So I'll be publishing future episodes when they're ready. Sometimes they'll just come out in batches, and sometimes there might be a longer gap in between. The best way to catch them, though, is to subscribe or follow the show. And you can do that in any of your podcast apps, Spotify, etc. They are also being uploaded regularly onto YouTube, where you can follow them there. Of course, any updates such as these, I'll keep aiming to get out to you in a timely manner. All right, enough about podcasts. Let's get into some discussion about the RVG. We're going through the MBS changes that were introduced on the 1st of March this year. There's been a number of them, but before I go into that, I just wanted to clarify something with you, if that's okay.
Certainly.
The first one was that there were a number of items that were submitted to MSAC.
Correct.
MSAC being the Medical Services Advisory Committee. Were those 10 items submitted by the ASA in regard to anaesthesia item numbers?
Correct, Susie. So as anaesthetists are aware, back in March and May 2022, the government reviewed the rules around anaesthetists being able to claim MBS items in association with anaesthesia that were outside of the RVG section of the MBS book. it became aware that the government had had long-standing advice that anaesthetists shouldn't be able to claim numbers outside of the MBS section of the RBG. And in early 2022, the government started to identify these numbers and came to the ASA saying, we are going to be changing a note that exists in the MBS that allowed us to do it. And for those that were aware, there used to be a note in the old MBS schedule, note TN.10.8, and that was the note that allowed us to actually claim numbers outside of the MBS section of the RBG when we initiated anaesthesia. So as a result of that, we identified with anaesthetists several numbers that were high volume or even low volume numbers that were important that were likely to be affected. We then, as a ASA, got a couple of working groups together and we rapidly submitted a submission to the government that went through to MSAC for those 10 IFE numbers to be replicated in the RBG section. Now, unfortunately, of those 10, three were successful getting up, and the ASA is obviously reviewing how we go forward with those other IFE numbers to see if we can resubmit to get those numbers in. So what the government did then, they went through their approval process. MSAC approved three of those numbers to be duplicated within the RBG, and as of 1 March, with those numbers now being in the RBG section of anaesthesia, anaesthetists can use those numbers.
And so just to be clear, anaesthetists should only be using item numbers from group T10. That's the RBG. I get this asked in various forms. I think at the start of every year, we have registrars have transitioned to becoming specialists. And I feel like, for want of a better term, there's a lot of flicking through the whole MBS schedule and going, oh, I do, for example, that block, maybe I can claim for that. And what they don't realise is that we are actually constrained to a particular group of item numbers within the schedule.
Look, that's a really good point, Susie. And I think that's what's critical for particularly trainees in the final year of their training and for new fellows, is ideally to attend one of the ASA meetings that we have. Also, we run what have been traditionally called Part 3 courses, and the terminology for those courses is evolving, but that's where we ask these questions.
So the reason I asked the question about the ASA's application to MSAC is because another comment that's been made to me when people have read that determination is that it didn't look like the ASA was consulted. There's a whole bunch of medical organisations that are listed, and I think that's very good. It shows some rigour and thoroughness in the process, and a few people have asked me, why is the ASA not listed in there? And I think the answer is because we initiated.
Yeah, look, Susie, that's 100% correct. I mean, when that first government notice came out, we went through it and it was very clear that it didn't actually name that the ASA was the applicant. And so, yes, it's great that it shows the government does always go and get feedback from all key stakeholders. So just because we ask for a number doesn't mean we're going to get it. They consult widely, as they should do, to ensure that it's clinically indicated and it's a service that should be funded. It would be nice that they had obviously meant that the application was made by the ASA, but I'd just like to assure members that we put in hundreds of hours, and there were obviously lots of anaesthetists that are involved with EAC and other subspecialty areas, particularly for the cardiac ITO numbers. So I think we had over five or six Zoom meetings or online meetings face-to-face to work through the issues, plus countless emails, and we got feedback from some very eminent cardiac anaesthetists around the country, as well as obviously we engaged the cardiothoracic perfusion sig too. So we did engage, and look, it's great to see that we managed to get this through MSAC, but again, we still have work to do with those other numbers to see if we can get those in some form or another replicated within the RBG.
Well, won't tap into what those other numbers may be, because hopefully that'll be the subject of another podcast in the future. All right, lovely. Is there anything else that you would like to say about some of the ongoing advocacy work that you are having at the moment with the department?
Yeah, look, thanks, Susie. Just for all the members, you will be receiving the ASA RBG book in the mail very soon. It has gone off to the printers. And when you do get the RBG book, I really do encourage you to actually read it. The ASA has introduced several new numbers in the RBG book this year, which are not replicated in the MBS ever. The other thing to note is that we've got ongoing negotiations and submissions being worked up with the government for addressing IFE number deficiencies, and they are ongoing. The timeline from a submission process with the government to getting a number funded and approved and in the MBS schedule can be up to 24 months. So it's a long process, and the government does have a preference for us to batch those up. So at the moment, that's what we are in the process of doing. And I guess, look, finally, the critical thing about the MBS is we know that as anaesthesia evolves and as techniques do change, there can sometimes be a gap in the description of terms for initiation of anaesthesia, and we always encourage members to approach the ASA or contact the ASA if they're unsure. We are aware that, again, from time to time, as you've pointed out, Susie, doctors do start to go looking through the MBS schedule trying to find numbers to value add to the complex procedures that they're doing, where there does appear to be a deficiency in the initiation number or lack of other numbers to support the complexity of the anaesthesia and what they've done. And the critical thing, again, to get back to all our doctors, is there are some ASA numbers that you can use where there are no MBS numbers. There is no Medicare or health insurance rebate for those.
All right, lovely. Thank you, Lamo. I think you made some really good points that, yes, there are differences between the Medicare schedule and the ASA RBG item numbers. Thank you always for your ongoing advocacy work, and I'm very appreciative of the work that you do on behalf of members. The other thing, I suppose, is that if members are going through the schedule and finding that there is an item number that is not replicated in those that we are able to use as anaesthetists that they think is really important, perhaps they can contact the ASA to let us know so that we can continue having these conversations with the department.
Look, absolutely, Susie, we'd encourage that. And the final note is, and it's in the RBG book, is in 2024, this year, we are undertaking a review of our ASA RBG book. So if members have particularly got things they wish to point out or seek to have us look to correct, then please email us with your suggestions and we'll take those on board.
Yeah, fantastic. That's a really good tip. And I hear that a lot in the corridors, in the tea rooms. What's the appropriate item number for this? It hasn't been completely updated, particularly with the rise of the less invasive procedures, the more percutaneous procedures. So I look forward to seeing what the outcome of this review is.
Thanks, Susan.
Well, I hope you found that little snippet useful. As I mentioned, all of the details about the MBS changes that were introduced on the 1st of March in 2024 this year are in the full version of this podcast, which is on the ASA website. The link is in the episode notes, so scroll down or hit the episode notes button in your podcast player. You'll also be able to find the new item numbers in the ASA Relative Value Guide, which Lamo mentioned comes out as a hard copy book very soon. It's also available on the ASA website and via the ASA RVG app. All of these resources are available for members only. Of course, the ASA welcomes any doctor who provides anaesthetic services or has an interest in doing so to become a member. So that's whether you're a specialist anaesthetist, a GP anaesthetist, trainee, a pre-vocational doctor. We're always keen to hear from you. I'll put a link in the episode notes if you're interested in finding out more about membership. One thing that members can do, as Lamo mentioned, is contact the ASA if you're unsure about which MBS item number to use. We all know that there are gaps in the schedule, so if you come across one, again, we encourage you to let us know at the ASA so that Lamo and the team can liaise with the department and we can work towards filling in some of those gaps. If you contact me via email on podcast@asa.org.au, I am more than happy to pass the details on to the policy team. Otherwise, you can contact the policy team directly on policy@asa.org.au. Okay, I hope we get lots of feedback from you. I personally love hearing from you out there. Until the next episode, whenever that is, I hope you are staying safe and well out there.
Thank you for listening to the Australian Anaesthesia Podcast, which can be found on all the major podcast hosting platforms, as well as YouTube. This podcast is produced by the Australian Society of Anaesthetists and hosted by Dr. Susie New, with music created by Dr. Mark Seuss. The ASA was formed in 1934, and our vision is for every anaesthetist in Australia to be at their best, providing the highest quality anaesthesia and perioperative care through excellent technical and non-technical skills. We also hope that this means that you are functioning at your best when you're away from work. In this podcast, we have conversations that seek to inform, challenge, and inspire you to keep you performing at your best. Members of the ASA can access full versions of all episodes by logging into the ASA website at asa.org.au. If you are listening on your favourite podcast app, then make sure you look at the episode notes for the direct link to the podcast on the ASA website. Also, feel free to follow or subscribe so that you can receive the latest episodes as we do publish regularly. If you have any questions or feedback, please feel free to email us on podcast@asa.org.au. Thank you for your time, and we hope you enjoyed listening.